Blog Talk Radio.
You may have seen Mystic Mona rubbing elbows with major celebrities or on their reality program, Sister Wives. When I need the best intuitive advice on the go, I turn to the Dice Wisdom app, available for both iPhone and Android. The Dice Wisdom app is all I need for that extra edge. Go to dicewisdom.com.
How do you contact Mona? Her website is thepsychicview.com and her phone number is 702-571-0461. Mona is available for special events, VIP receptions, Las Vegas trade shows, and personal readings in Las Vegas by appointment. Mona holds the privileged psychic arts license through the City of Las Vegas and is the published author of Chanting Life, Wisdom and a Dice Toss. Call 702-571-0461. That's 702-571-0461. Remember, Mona changes lives one at a time.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Sunday. Now you know what channel I watch in the morning during the week. Okay, so I'm going to go right to the calls today. And I've got somebody here from 210 area code. Hello, 210. Who's this?
This is Pearl from Texas.
Hi, Pearl. What's your question?
My question is that I'm selling a condo, and there was we had 9 inches of rain during a tornadic rainfall.
Oh my
last
gosh!
May.
Yeah.
And when I checked on the condo, and this is a second home, and the water came into the condo, and I cleaned it up, put the dehumidifiers in there, and took care of the inside of the condo. But the bigger issue lies in the drainage behind the condo. And that I've asked the HOA to take care of that drainage problem, and they're addressing it. As of Memorial Day, I had another. But meanwhile, I put the condo on the market, and I have a buyer for the condo. But since it's an estate, I don't have to disclose that there's a problem. I mean, even if I did, I would say I took care of, you know, there was an issue, but I took care of it. But the issue lies that they have not fixed the problem on the outside of the condo, which is the HOA's responsibility. So what do you see around that issue?
Okay, first of all, I really, really, really want you to be honest with the buyer. I would rather you not sell the condo because you're honest and wait for a month or two until the HOA fixes it than for you to withhold the truth and then the condo gets sold. I just don't want the bad mojo coming back at you. You've been
That's what I like, too. I like to be honest. I don't want to kill the sale because I can close out of the estate and get rid of the sibling problem. Sleep easy.
Here's the thing. If you don't disclose, then you're acting just like your icky siblings. Because that's exactly what they would do. And you are better than that. So what you do is you either tell the buyer or actually you have the realtor tell the buyer or you tell the buyer exactly what happened. Now, everybody knows it rained like crap over the last few months in Texas. Everybody knows that, okay? And if the HOA doesn't step up and fix it soon, then that's something that the buyer needs to be aware of. Because if they don't want to work with an HOA that doesn't promptly resolve problems. But I actually think you have an opportunity here, Pearl. Here's the opportunity, is that you reach out to somebody at the HOA. If they actually have an office, tomorrow do a donut ambush. You know my donut ambush, right?
They're an hour and a half away. I can't get to
them. Doesn't matter. It's worth it. It's worth it. Sweetie, this is worth it. What you do is you get 3 dozen donuts, you make it a field trip tomorrow, you deliver the donuts, and you say, I'm bringing you guys donuts because I really need you to pay attention to something going on with my condo. I have a buyer, and I do not think it's ethical that I withhold that the fact that there's still something that needs to be fixed from the HOA for my condo. You guys, it's the last piece that I need to take care of in order to have this estate from my mom taken care of. See, when they meet you in person and they realize that you are a person, not just some other task on some to-do list, they are more likely to help you, especially if you bring donuts. So I think it's totally worth it to do it. Because the thing is then we've talked about full disclosure. Because if you go there tomorrow and you bring, you know, you get there at, say, 10 or 10:30 in the morning, and you bring 3 or 4 dozen donuts, and you say, hey, I'm in this complex. My condo has a buyer interested, but I'm still waiting on you guys to fix this thing, this drainage thing. And I feel compelled to tell the buyer the truth that I'm waiting on you guys. So I thought I'd tootle all the way over here, bring you guys some donuts, and hopefully find a way to put my condo on a priority to fix this. Otherwise,
okay,
I think
so
I'm going to lose
this. Yeah, let me break this down a little bit. So the HOA is a homeowners association, and that's made up of people who own condos. So they had a meeting recently, and they're addressing – they're supposed to be calling the city engineer to make sure that they can do certain things, and but I haven't heard anything back. People are going on vacation. Then there's a management company that takes care of, like, the one who put the dehumidifier, because this rain came in last May, not this May,
uh-huh.
May 2015. Then there's and they do take care of, like, the mowing and you know, problems around the outside majority, because the inside is the homeowner's responsibility. So who would you have me take donuts? Because most of the HOA live in different cities.
Okay, well, then I would go to, if there's a company that the HOA has hired to do maintenance, that would be the company I would go to.
Okay.
Now, here's the other thing, is that what I'm getting in your cards is that I know you can't wait to get rid of this condo. According to what I'm seeing here is that you get to sell it in July, but it's after you take action, similar to what I'm suggesting.
Should I tell, would it be a good idea to tell the realtor about this?
Yes.
There hasn't been a reason to tell her. I don't have to disclose anything because
okay,
I'm an executor.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, girl, I got to tell you. Any dishonesty or negativity you put out there, even if you're right, is going to come back to you, all right? So if you don't disclose, because here's the thing, put yourself in the buyer's shoes here.
I know,
right?
That's what bothers me. I would not like
right.
to be treated that
so
way.
So you wouldn't be asking the question if your conscience wasn't there, right? Your conscience is telling you to do the right thing. So what I would do as soon as we're done chatting this morning is I would call your realtor and I would say, it's me, Pearl. I've got to tell you something because I want your advice first, but I want to be really candid with you about the condo. Here's what's going on. And you explain the whole thing. And then you say, have you had with other people that are selling their condo where they've been able to resolve an issue with a homeowners association prior to the sale? Because I have to tell you, and you have to say it this way, I can't live with myself if I don't fully disclose that the homeowners association didn't fix this problem for this condo. Because here's the thing, Pearl, you wouldn't be asking me if there was a part of you that knew that holding it back was wrong.
Very true. I mean, I rather sleep, my head on
the
pillow.
Exactly. At
the
end of the day, you can live with yourself.
When I do this, is it going to kill the sale? Or are the buyers going to be people to work with?
It doesn't matter, because according to Pearl, it doesn't matter, because according to what I'm seeing in the cards, the condo sells in July.
Okay.
So there is a sale happening here. And the thing is that if the realtor says, well, you know, maybe they're better at dealing with homeowners associations. But the thing is that if you've been waiting for what, a year to get this fixed?
Yes.
Okay, if you've been waiting a year to get this fixed, It'd be different if it was only 3 weeks. See, if it was only 3 weeks, I would say, well, you know, the Homeowners Association is aware of it. It just happened 3 weeks. It's in the queue. But it's been over a year. So it's even more of a guilt generator because it hasn't been resolved in over a year. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing, is that you call a realtor and you say, I need your advice because I have to tell you something. All right? Then you tell the realtor. And the realtor goes, yeah, you know, that might kill the sale. And then you say, well, what can I do to motivate either the maintenance company or the homeowners association to get this fixed? The other option you have, Pearl, is to hire someone to fix it yourself and put that money out to fix it. Don't tell the homeowners association you're doing it because, see, you're already fixing a problem. So you're actually benefiting. Do you see what I mean? So then the problem is fixed. So instead of them investing $5,000 with a maintenance problem to fix it, you've invested the $5,000 to fix it. And then when the maintenance company or the homeowners association gets around to fixing it, you can actually they'll come and go, oh, well, this doesn't seem to be a problem. You see what I mean? So you either have to fix it yourself, right? Which I would notify the homeowners association, because, you know, again, this is about being transparent and candid and honest, because at the end of the day, you have to live with yourself. So you either spend the money to fix it yourself, or you do the and you let the real estate agent know that that's exactly what you're doing. FYI, that's what you said, or FYI, I'm spending the money to fix this issue because it's been over a year and the Homeowners Association hasn't fixed it.
Okay.
I got to go. Thanks for calling, Pearl.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, see you later. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Wow, where'd you guys all come from? You know what? I really appreciate you guys tuning into this program. It just rocks my world that you find me. All right, I'm going to go to area code 414. Hello, 414. Who's this?
Hi, this is Felicia. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Felicia. What's your question?
How are you?
I'm good. What's your question?
Okay. My question is, do you see my finances, I feel like, going straight? Am I doing everything I need? So the question is, my finances okay? Or do I need to do something else? I just picked up a part-time job because I'm trying to buy a home this summer.
Okay, so, Felicia, nobody can beat you up like you can. Nobody beats you up like you do. Here's the thing. You already know the answer to this question. You already know that you're doing everything that you humanly can, physically can, in order to make yourself a autonomous, responsible adult, all right?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you one more thing to do, all right? Just one more thing, because you're kind of a no-no, I can do it myself girl, all right?
Yes.
I want you to do one more thing. The one more thing is, I'm open to my blessings.
Okay.
Every morning, I want you to face east, I want you to open your arms wide above your head and say, I'm open to my blessings. Because here's the thing. Stuff happens absolutely out of the blue when you least expect it. All right?
Yeah.
And you need to be open to the idea that that may mean that you need to be willing to accept something new that's coming to you. Sometimes I actually have people go to the dollar store or the grocery store and pick up a Mother Mary or Jesus candle.
Uh-huh.
And when they do that, I have them light the candle, say the prayer on the back of the candle, and then open their arms wide above their head and say, I'm open to my blessings. And these are really just rituals to remind you that the universe works through many, many things to make things happen for you. This universe is directed by your mind's focus, right? And I see in your cards here that nobody can beat you up like you can. You're incredibly critical of yourself, all right? It's because nobody can really set a goal high enough for you. And one of the best kind of jobs would be if you got a job where they said, Felicia, we want you to take care of this, whatever this is. And you say, okay. Well, you'll do a 10 times better job than they expect because of your high standard. So you would be really good as a project manager specifically because of that. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't see issues with your money. I actually see you're doing all the right things. And you got to realize that the thing with money is that when you worry about it, you cut the flow of money off. When you don't worry about
yes.
it, it always seems to work out. Like, I'll tell you what happened to me. I had to get my husband took my car down to have the brakes checked. $600-something later, we get this quote for $600-something. Then they call back 5 minutes later and they say, you know, there's a couple tires separating. You probably need new tires.
Mm-hmm.
So the $650-something bill ended up being closer to $1,400.
Mm.
But the thing is now my car is safe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean? It's like
yeah.
it's like the I'm not going to be stranded on some freeway in the desert here.
And that's
because
what happened to me. Is something like that happened to me the other day.
See, I'm just telling you. So when stuff happens, instead of going, oh, crap, I got to dole out $1,400 to get my car fixed, well, okay. But it's way less expensive than what it might cost
mm-hmm.
me if I found myself stranded in the desert. So the way I look at it is that, you know what, that'll always come back. And it always does.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can go into the flow of money, not the worry about money, then it'll start coming to you.
Okay.
All right, gal pal. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, see you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right, I've got somebody here from the 515 area code. Hello, 515. Who's this?
Hi, this is Jen.
Hi, Jen. What's your question?
Well, there's a guy that I've been kind of hanging out with a little bit, getting to know each other. I wouldn't say we're quite dating, but there's interest on both sides there.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's like two steps forward, one step back. Just any insight on that?
Okay. He is scared to death to be in a relationship.
I
scared.
Figured that.
Just totally petrified. Okay. So what I want you to do, I still want you to date other people. I don't want you to make this putting all of your laser beam focus on this guy because that'll further scare the crap
mm-hmm.
out of him. So what you
okay.
do instead, I'll tell you, when you start doing this, he's going to start wanting to take you aside and hog you to himself, all right? But
mm-hmm.
this is what you do, is you start planning activities where it's not just with you and him. It's with a group. So it could be, like here in Vegas, we have cosmic bowling, which is, you know,
uh-huh.
at nighttime. All right, it's stupid, it's fun, it's, you know, it's really a silly way for people to get together and glow in the dark because the black lights are on, right? But you start
okay.
planning things that have groups. So you invite a couple friends and ask him to invite a couple friends. So it becomes sort of a group activity, like standing
mm-hmm.
in line for a movie to open. So when the new Ghostbusters movies open or something, or when Independence Day comes out, that you say, look, I want to do the advance tickets. I want to do the first screening of this movie. Okay, so what you do is you start creating these fun adventures to do that you're including him on, but it's not exclusively him. All right?
Okay.
So that when, because what I'm seeing here is that there's a part of you that brings harmony to his chaos. All right?
Mm-hmm.
He likes being around you, but it scares the crap out of him because he likes being around you, because that's the next card. Then you have this card that says, there's nobody in the world that is you. So yes, you have his attention, right? But then it's saying, don't push it, right? You have a card that talks about be really casual with this and that you're seeing him very clearly. So what you're telling me is exactly the truth. I'm just adding you a little extra insight that he's scared to death for the idea of what...
afraid of?
Commitment. He's afraid of getting hurt.
Okay.
So what you do is that you create an environment that being around you has nothing to do but fun, joy, authenticity, real, and that you're not going to hurt them. Okay?
Okay.
But you do things that don't make it so it's like a laser beam focus from you to him. You're
mm-hmm.
part of the energy, and he tends to be drawn to you that way. But you don't do it so that it's always about the two of you. You wait till he initiates just the two of you. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, we don't have a lot of friends in common. And we have gone more one-on-one things, so I don't know.
Okay, so there are some really, really cool groups here in Vegas, meetup groups, where you actually just get on meetup and see what
mm-hmm.
people are doing. And you say, this is how you say it. Let's say his name's Sam. Sam, I don't want to go by myself. Will you go with me?
Okay.
You see what I mean? So in other words,
mm-hmm.
you actually have him act in a way as your champion to go with you because you don't want to go by yourself because he wouldn't go by himself either. But he's willing to do something new that puts him in a group of people. Do you see what I mean? But if
mm-hmm.
you say, I don't want to, it makes me a little nervous to go by myself, he's going to get that. So let's say it's
okay.
a Scrabble group. Let's say it's Scrabble. Everybody knows how to play frickin' Scrabble, although some people are really vicious about it more so than others, but that's okay. Doesn't matter. You find a group. It could be a hiking group. It could be a cooking group. It could be Scrabble. It could be a dance group, whatever it is. You say, I don't want to go by myself. Will you go with me? Because then it's a group. The laser focus of the two of you is it's not about you looking at every gesture of him going, wow, what's he thinking? Wow, what the... You go into learning or doing something together, takes all the pressure off the two of you.
Okay.
All right? If you
okay.
can shift it slightly to something like that, then this relationship has some real possibilities, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep it like this, then it's going to get probably more and more intense, and he's going to detach, and you're going to get upset. And, you know, which is what we don't want. So we got to make it a little bit more interesting. He's got to have a taste of what life is like with you on an everyday basis that has no pressure connected with it.
I see.
Got it?
Okay.
All right,
okay.
girl.
Okay, that's helpful.
Call.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
You're welcome. Bye. All right, I've got somebody here from the 414 area code. Hello, 414. Who's this?
Hi, this is Tanya.
Hi, Tanya.
And
what's your question?
My question today is that me and my son want to go into purchasing a duplex. I feel confident we're going to get it. The only problem I'm having is the down payment. That might be the problem.
Okay. So when you say you and your son are going into a duplex, does that mean that you're going to live in one half and or one side and he's going to live in the other?
Right.
Okay. So you're not buying this to rent it out to somebody else?
No.
Okay. I actually think that you're going to figure out how to get the money. Here's the thing, is I actually think that you're more qualified to get the money than your son is.
Mm-hmm.
So What's really interesting here is that, is your son even working right now?
Yes, he works.
Okay.
And actually, he makes more money than I do.
Okay, because what I'm getting here is that you may be able to, see, here's the thing. You got this card that talks about lining yourself up and then a big leap in trust. So it's saying that there may be money that you're not even aware of that you have that can help with a down payment. That looking around, you might find a quarter that's worth $10,000, or you might there's some money or some aspect or some asset you have that actually can help with this. Because I actually see that you get the duplex.
Okay.
what's interesting here is that now I actually have a suggestion, and I don't know if have you purchased a home before?
No, I would be a first timer.
Okay, the reason I say that is that sometimes, and remember I said that there's something about money you're not aware of that you might have access to, is that
yes.
If you have a 401k or an IRA, you may be able to borrow or withdraw from it without a penalty for a first-time home buyer. So what I would do is I would check that avenue, because if you only need, say, you know, $25,000 or $40,000 for the down payment on this, because once you're in there, the payment part's going to be easy. So once you're in there, the payments are going to be great, because
right.
it's going to ultimately going to be less than paying rent. So
mm-hmm.
what I would do is I would go to your employer and say, I'm looking to be a first-time home buyer, and I understand that I may be able to borrow or withdraw from my 401k for that. Now, I'm not a financial advisor, Tanya.
Right.
But I've heard about this. So
okay.
you might want to ask that question. Okay? Because
okay.
if – now, how long has your son been working at the job he's in?
I think he's been there 2 years.
Okay. So has he been contributing to his 401k?
That I don't know.
You might want to ask him that question.
Okay.
Because what I keep getting here is that there's money you're not aware of that you have access to, that I want you to have access to it. All right? And it may be that if you're the one that's putting the money down, it may be that you work it out that the duplex is under your name, but that you create a trust that it ends up going to your son down the road. But if the majority of the down payment is your, if the money is your money, I would recommend that this duplex be just under your name.
Okay.
It's just my thought, because then because if you use your money to buy this duplex, right? In
mm-hmm.
essence, you're actually renting out half of it, or the other side of it, to your son. But again, not
mm-hmm.
a financial advisor. Just sounds like there's a you've kind of scratched the surface of this great idea, and it may be time to go with somebody now that has a little bit more expertise in that. But I keep getting in your cards is that there's money available to you that you're not aware of.
Okay.
All right, my
now,
friend. Thanks for the call. I'm sorry, I got to
go. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
See you later. Okay, bye. All right, got somebody here from the 939 area code. Hello, 939. Who's this? Hello, 939. All right, I guess you just want to listen, so I'm going to put you back on hold. So back on hold. All right, I'm going to go to area code 917. Hello, 917. Who's this?
Hello, Mona. This is Ellen.
Hi, Ellen. What's your question?
I have a job interview tomorrow.
Yay.
Okay. Can you give me any insight regarding how it will go, or whether even this job is the right one for me?
Okay. So my immediate reaction to this question is that you need to pretend in your head before you go to this interview that you're incredibly excited about this job.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. You're like, I don't know if I want to put my suit on and make the effort. I don't know. And what I'm getting here in your cards is you absolutely need to go to this job with great questions. Like
okay.
you are incredibly interested in this job, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll tell you why. Because according to what I'm seeing here is that this last year has really kind of sucked for you. It has been one challenge after.
Don't let me say last year.
Okay.
Sorry.
But I'm just telling you, it's been one challenge after another. It's been a lot of people misunderstanding your intentions. It's been a year of you not getting what you want. All right.
Yeah.
So the universe has presented this interview to you. Okay. Instead of second-guessing or assuming it's going to go a certain way, I want you to go in with all the enthusiasm that says, you know what, this could be the best job I ever have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why I'm seeing that. You actually, it's saying that the money will be there when you need it, where it needs to be. The money is going to be where it needs to be, all right? You have a card that talks about from a place of pain comes a new beginning, all right? The two cards that speak to why you're hesitant about even going are a card that talks about a fear of total commitment and a fear of being in another group of people. But the last card talks about you making your own luck, that by them meeting you, they're going to realize how much you have to offer, and that when you go in there with the enthusiasm of being a team player, you really got to come in with that attitude. You come
mm-hmm.
in with the idea that you're great at creating amazing teams. You could even say, which is one of my favorite lines to have people say in interviews, is you bring harmony to chaos.
Okay.
You are awesome at getting to the bottom line of what needs to get done. These
mm-hmm.
are all the things you say. Now, I want you to do two things before the interview tomorrow. The first
okay.
thing is I want you to write down five things that would make this job ideal.
Okay.
On an index card. Write down five things that would make this job ideal, right? It might be work environment, might be pay, it might be dress code, it might be commute from work, you know, from
mm-hmm.
home, all right? And the fifth thing could be that you get to telecommute a couple days a week. Whatever it is, you write down five things that would be deal makers for this job for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, based on those five things, I want you to come up with five questions that align yourself with those issues, those goals,
mm-hmm.
right? So you say, I just have a question. Is your company open to telecommuting? I'm
mm-hmm.
not talking every day, but say maybe once or twice a week. Is your
okay.
company open to flexible hours otherwise?
Mm-hmm.
Is the company open to flexible hours when you know that traffic delays, you know, might be an issue for people
mm-hmm.
that have to commute? So you could say, you know, I'm asking because maybe working a 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. shift might be better than working 8 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe working a 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. shift might be better than 8 to 5. So you ask, do some of your employees enjoy flexible hours? Which
okay.
is a really great way to ask that question. Do you
mm-hmm.
see what I mean? So
yeah.
the other thing I want to tell you is that when you go into this interview, I want you to treat it as though it's a karmic interaction.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. You are really about to get a great job, and it might be this one.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what, if they make an offer to you, I want you to take the job because you're worth more already employed than if you're not.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what happens, you go in with the idea that this is going to be your dream job. That's your mojo when you go in. This is going to be my dream job. I can't wait to meet these people. And be prepared to ask the stupidest question that I absolutely hate in interviews. So, Ellen, tell us about yourself. I hate that question. I really
Same
do hate
here.
That question. Okay, but you need to come up with the perfect answer for it before the interview. This is the answer I like to tell people to give. Say, well, I'm really detail-oriented, so when I
mm-hmm.
do a recipe for the first time, I usually follow it to the exact measurement of the recipe. Mm-hmm. And then I said, then after I've done the recipe the first time, then I add my own stuff to it. Like I discovered that oatmeal cookies taste great with coconut and cranberries in them. And then you say, someday I should make you my oatmeal cranberry cookies. So what happens is that you're talking about a hobby, cooking, that shows that you're detail-oriented, but that you, this is your flair for doing it. You do it the way everybody else has done it first. And then you add other things to enhance it that makes it better for everybody. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you come up with some little story that talks about who you are, but is a metaphor for what, how you're going to be on the job.
Okay.
That's how I like to answer that. So, Ellen, tell me about yourself.
Okay.
Okay, because the cool thing about it is that it shows that you are a team player. You're going to see if it works. But then you're going to gently add other things to it that make it a little better. But you do it through your cooking metaphor, which is my favorite thing to tell people. So please call my radio program. Again, I'm going to look for your number, Ellen, your 917 number,
yeah,
and call us and tell us what happened.
Okay.
So next Sunday I'll talk to you.
Thank you so much, Mona. I appreciate it.
All right. All right, gal pal. See you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, I've got somebody here from the 480 area code. Hello, 480. Who's this?
This is Jan, Mona.
Hi, Jan. What's your question?
Oh, gosh. I have so many, so I'm just going to put it out there and say, I feel stuck. I don't like my job. I don't like where I live. Where do I belong?
Well, sounds to me, and I'm just gonna throw this at you real quick here. Is it sounds to me that you've become a little stubborn on what life is supposed to be like. Okay?
Okay.
And what I'm getting here is that one of the quickest ways to get out of a feeling of being stuck is to learn something new. Right? So it sounds
right
to me like you've been stuck in sort of the same routine for a long
mm-hmm
time, and you haven't been willing to learn something new, right? Now, I don't care
mm-hmm
what the something new is, but it might be that you join a gym and you start taking up water exercises in the pool, or it might be that
mm-hmm
you learn to play bridge, because then you're with a group of people that are a little bit smarter than the average bear because they play bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get connected to a new job because somebody's wife might work for a great company that your background would contribute to. Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, you can't keep doing things the same way and expect different results. That's insanity, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So the way to open yourself to out of this feeling of being stuck is by learning something new. And I don't care what it is. It also starts by the fact that you have this card that talks about the intense loneliness that you're in right now, that you
yes
that you sequester yourself away from people. And I'm telling you that the angels work through people.
Mm-hmm.
The universe works through people. So what you do is you take that big brain of yours and you start to learn something new. And then it connects you with people that are also smart. And I'm going to give you a task. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes.
For the next 3 weeks, do not complain about anything.
Okay.
Do not verbally complain about anything. And when you find your mind going into the stinking thinking about, I hate my life, I hate my job, I hate blah, 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 when you go into
mm-hmm
that, I want you to imagine that you put a big red stop sign up and you imagine you sit still and breathe in the word love, breathe out the word fear. Breathe in the word love, breathe out the word fear for about a minute. And then after a minute, you breathe in the word love, you breathe out the word love. You do that
okay
for about a minute, okay? But the biggest thing that's going on with you, gal pal, is you're spending way too much time by yourself. You're
mm-hmm
You know, you may be one of those people that you go to work, you come home, you binge watch Netflix, you go to bed, you get up, you work. I mean, seriously, you
mm-hmm
are not doing anything remotely interesting.
No.
And that's why I'm telling you, if you learn something new, when people ask you the question, Jan, what do you do for fun? You can actually
mm-hmm
answer it.
Right.
Okay, see, when people ask me, what do I do for fun? Well, of course, I live in Las Vegas. There's lots to do here for fun. But one of the
yeah
things that I absolutely love is my husband and I try new restaurants all the time. And one of the things that we love to do is we like to try a restaurant where they have a bar, and we actually
mm-hmm
eat dinner and split stuff at the bar.
Okay.
It's one of our favorite things to do. It's what we do for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm overweight. But see, the other thing that I should be doing for fun is taking the same advice I just gave you and take up a water aerobics class, because I'd meet a lot of really great people that way that were probably all in about the same shape and physical ability, nature that I would be in. In other words, mm-hmm. I'd be working out with a bunch of people that are in the same place I am. And I've got a gal here in town, her name is Lorelei, and she teaches these AquaFit classes. Mm-hmm. All I have to do is call her, and I haven't done it yet. But this woman is probably 57, and when she waves her arm, the only thing that waves is her hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's how toned she is. So there are no wings underneath her upper arms, man, because she works out, and she's in great shape.
Right.
And she's the person I would more likely want to have a role model than one of those little 20-year-old girls that are tight and firm and look great, but they're 21 years old. Everybody looked great at 21. I mean, if I was the weight I was at 21 now, I would be amazing. And when I was 21, I thought I was fat. Blows my mind to think about it now. But back
I weigh more now than I did at 21.
Okay, I think most of us do. But here's the thing. Find something to do that teaches you something new that puts you in people. Because once you get involved with people and you do my task of not complaining about anything for 3 weeks, people are going to be more likely to want to help you. Because nobody wants to be around a Debbie Downer. Nobody.
Right.
Now, it's different if there's an emergency. It's different if suddenly somebody has to take their pet into the vet because there's a problem, right? That's different. Mm-hmm. But when you sit in that stinking thinking part of things, really nobody wants to be around you. And I'm going to say there's a thing about crap in your life, right? There's two ways to deal with crap. You can either roll around in it all the time and smell like it, which absolutely repulses people, or you can stomp it down and use it as fertilizer. You can stomp it down and you can say, I don't want to be this way anymore. So I'm going to be something different. And when you make that decision and you spend the next 3 weeks not complaining about anything and trying to learn something new, find something new to learn. I don't care what it is. It could be working out with a personal trainer just because your psychic told you to try something new, right? Because as soon as you can break the habit of your current life, which is getting up, going to work, coming home, binge-watching Netflix, falling asleep on the couch, going to bed, getting up, and going to work, if you can break that cycle, then everything starts to happen because you open yourself to the idea that the universe is full of blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And when you open yourself to the idea that these blessings are constantly falling on you and stop complaining about it and look at your life right now as though it's the perfect foundation for you to have anything you want, if you can go into that mojo, then that's exactly what happens.
Okay.
So one of the best ways for people that are a little reluctant to change their life is to give something to a critter that doesn't care. All they want is your love. So if you volunteer at a dog or a cat shelter, that's a great way for you to start showing out there that there's this huge heart of compassion that you have. If you start going back to church, then you're connecting with people that are also looking to have a force bigger than themselves heal their pain. And that's exactly what I want you to do.
Okay.
All right, my friend. Thanks for calling. See you later.
Thank you for taking my call. Bye-bye now.
Bye. All right, I've got somebody here from the 347 area code. Hello, 347. Who's this?
Hi, this is Keisha.
Hi, Keisha. What's your question?
I'm interested in meeting somebody new or having a new relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds to me like the pond you've been fishing from hasn't produced the right fish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to change to a lake. So it's time to go from a pond to a lake. Now, I know that that sounds like a really, really simple thing to say to you, but here's the thing, is that I've been on this thing lately where I've been telling women that are over 35 or 40 to take up bridge, the actual game of bridge. And the reason I've been telling them to do that is because when you start connecting with people that are smart and it's a group, what happens is the group naturally wants to help you, right? And what I'm seeing here for you, Keisha, is you've got this mm-hmm. natural gift of being able to see past people's bullcrap.
Right.
You have this amazing natural intuition to know if the person that you're meeting is the real deal or full of crap as soon as you meet them, right? It's a gift. You
yep.
have it.
Okay?
Now,
yep.
having said that, the next card says is that you're doing this relationship stuff the hard way.
Okay.
And I don't want you to do it the hard way anymore. If
okay.
a person is meant to be in your life, they're going to make it very clear they're into you. And if they don't,
right.
they don't get to have your time. Right? Because
mm-hmm.
the next card in your reading talks about you getting serious about your own happiness. See, we already know you're perfect. You are perfect the way you are. There is nothing about you that needs to change. And when you get into the idea of that, there's going to be more people attracted to you. You're also a little oblivious to men that are trying to get your attention. It's like,
maybe.
Yeah, okay, so here's the thing. I want you to start doing a little bit of a case study for yourself. Just say, my psychic's given me this homework assignment, so I'm going to do it, right?
Okay,
what
yeah.
you do is that the next time you're in any public place, like let's say you go into the grocery store and you're heading right for the lemons and the apples, and you know you're going right to what you need to pick up. You're going there, you're going to pick up your chicken, you're going to go get your whatever. Instead of doing the Target shopping thing like you usually do when you go in the grocery store, I want you to go at the busiest time of day. I want you to walk in, and instead of targeting the asparagus, I want you to look around and see if anyone is looking at you. And
okay.
if they are, I just want you to sort of smile that they caught your eye. You don't have to go
okay.
have coffee with them. You don't have to go sleep with them. You don't have to do anything. Just smile at them. Girl, you've got to relearn how to flirt.
Okay, so what does the pond thing mean? Like a pond in a different lake? Like what does that kind of metaphor kind of mean?
Okay, so here's the thing. You've been fishing from a pond that's too small, right?
Okay.
I want
mm-hmm.
you to go to a lake which is bigger and has better fish.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So now you could take some of the advice that I told a couple callers ago about one of the best ways to meet the right kind of people is to learn something new. All right? So
right.
what I'm seeing here is it doesn't matter if you take a cooking class. It doesn't matter if you get into bicycling. It doesn't matter what you do. But whatever it is, do something that teaches you something new from a beginner level that happens to also include men.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
one of the things that I love about you, there is such an amazing mojo about you. It's like you have this, to the people that know you and love you, you have this very amazing, huggable energy. You just do. You're really
yeah.
good. You're just really good at bringing harmony to chaos. You're just awesome like that. So
yeah.
So whenever I meet somebody that has that kind of mojo, I have them think about the idea of what actually brings them even more joy to expand on that in some way.
Okay. Yeah, I'm into writing and food.
Okay, so if you're into writing and food, one of the things I'd love you to do is be the unknown food critic in your neighborhood or in your city. Seriously, is that you could even do I'm thinking of something here. It could be K for food, the blog, K for food. And what you do is you actually try out all these different restaurants and you write about them.
Yeah, that's what I was actually thinking about doing.
Okay, the cool thing about that is when you go to the restaurant and you actually have the food,
mm-hmm.
then you say, I'm going to write a really nice review on my blog about you. If you do anything special down the road that you'd like me to review for you, here's my card, and then you get a free meal.
Right, right.
And then you sell advertising for spices and cookware and stuff like knives on your blog.
Okay, that's a good idea.
So, but here's the thing, is I want you in the path of men.
Right.
So the other thing that would be awesome because you're into food is why not, here's the perfect class for you to take. Are you ready? This is the perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like goes right along with everything you're into. Why don't you take a sommelier class? Why don't you become a sommelier?
I don't know what that is.
It's a wine, it's the person that when you go into a restaurant and you're not sure what wine to choose, they send over the sommelier. And the sommelier is a man or a woman that knows about wines. Like,
wow,
I didn't know. I'll tell you how
I'm
ignorant
into food.
I doesn't matter. What grows
okay.
great with food is wine. And we're
you're
trying
right.
to have you hook up with a guy, right? So
right.
we learn something new by learning about wines, right? Even if it's just mm-hmm. going to wine tastings. But here's the thing, is that I lost my point. Hold on, I'll get it.
You
I had a point.
Crap. Sommelier or something.
Sommelier. It's sort of like a wine connoisseur is very cool. Oh, here's the thing I was going to say. So I was so ignorant about wines that I didn't know that the name of the wine was the actual grape that the wine was made from. I just thought they were nice French names for the wine. So I had no idea that Chardonnay was actually a grape.
Yeah.
I had no idea that Pinot
either.
Noir was a grape. I had no idea.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
And then when I started kind of learning more about wines, I went, oh, well, duh. Duh. I could have had a V8. No, I'm serious. I was really that's how ignorant I was about it. But what I'm telling you is that anything that you can learn that interests you, like going to a writing class where there are guys that want to be writers. Do you see what
okay.
I mean? Public
yeah.
speaking, where you get up in front of a group of people and you're in front of other professional people, men and women, the biggest group in your city, Toastmasters, learn how to do public speaking. It's $5 a class.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it
I want to
puts
do that.
You, but it puts you in a whole different group of people. And I'll tell you, when I was in Toastmasters, I had no idea it was going to prepare me to do a radio program. I had no idea. And I took
okay.
it several years before I actually launched my radio program. I've been doing this program since 2003.
Wow.
So and on Blog Talk, there's probably 400 broadcasts that I've done for this program.
Wow.
And the thing is I believe the people that are meant to find me will find me. And it's the mojo I put out there for my radio program. It's the mojo I put out there for private readings.
Okay.
I figure that, you know what, the people that are meant to talk to me will talk to me. And I don't have to fight. I mean, I frustrate the crap out of the people at Yelp because they call me every 2 weeks going, you want to buy some advertising? Nah, I like the organic way I get business. They don't know how to answer
right.
that.
Right.
But it's
right.
a spiritual thing, which you get. You get this.
Yeah.
You get it. And so all I want you to do is start fishing from a lake instead of a pond.
Okay.
All right, gal pal.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Okay, let me see. I've got somebody here from the 939 area code. Hello, 939. Who's this? Hello, 939. Okay. All right. Hold. got somebody here for the 916 area code. Hello, 916. Is this Wendy?
Hi. Yes, and I love your show, Mona.
What a sweet thing to say. So what's your question for me?
You have words of wisdom. I tried something new, and I think it worked in my favor.
Tell me. I can't wait to hear.
Well, I turned things around because I spent a long time on an online application for school's financial credit union. As soon as I submitted it, I realized I had not pasted my resume into it. So, I called the credit union and I asked to be connected to HR. And
yes.
I spoke to a lady and I said, would you be willing if I emailed my resume directly to you and the formatting would be better and you could give it to Bonnie? And she said yes. So that way my resume came to her attention. And I applied in the past, but I didn't have the banking experience. Now I've got the banking experience. I am technically on paper, currently employed. So I wonder if I'm going to get any activity on this.
Okay, so first of all, I am incredibly proud of you, Wendy, for putting yourself out there. I am. You have warmed the cockles of my heart by jumping in like that. So kudos, congratulations, that's awesome. I actually think that you're probably going to get a job offer. Because here's the thing.
From them?
From the credit union people. So what I would do is I would call them up. I would wait, but you are going to get a response from them. And when you do get the response, it's going to be, oh, yeah, you know, we sometimes have people that have an issue with posting their resume, which is why you had that really wonderful response about having your resume directly sent.
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome. I think within the next couple weeks you're going to have good news for me. But then I've always kind of thought that you would have something by the end of this month anyway. So, all right,
well,
gal pal, thanks for the call. I got to go. Thank you.
Okay.
See you later.
Love your show.
Okay, bye. Oh, thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye. All right.
How do you contact Mona? Her website is thepsychicview.com and her phone number is 702-571-0461. Mona is available for special events, VIP receptions, Las Vegas trade shows, and personal readings in Las Vegas by appointment. Mona holds the Privileged Psychic Arts License through the City of Las Vegas and is the published author of Chancing Life, Wisdom in a Dice Toss. Call 702-571-0461. That's 702-571-0461. Remember,
thank you for tuning in to Psychic View with Mona. Each week, Mona selects a fan from her Facebook page for an extended reading, so if you'd like to be considered, please like her page. Her Facebook page is Mystic Mona, and you may also follow The Mystic Mona on Twitter. Indicate Psychic View as a favorite on Blog Talk and be notified of Mona's special programs. Tune in to Psychic View each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Time and call in to ask your question. Psychic View is brought to you on Blog Talk Radio for your entertainment and consideration. Mona is available for Las Vegas trade shows, VIP parties, and special events. Phone sessions are also available by appointment. You may contact Mona by dialing 702-571-0461. That's 702-571-0461. Or by going to her website at mysticmona.com. Thank you for sharing your morning with Mona. And remember, Psychic View, because the present moment is the gift.
You may have seen Mystic Mona rubbing elbows with major celebrities or on their reality program, Sister Wives. When I need the best intuitive advice on the go, I turn to the Dice Wisdom app, available for both iPhone and Android. The Dice Wisdom app is all I need for that extra edge. Go to dicewisdom.com.